Recently, Tammy Bobrowski interviewed actress and author Felicia Day.
You know, the online world is not an isolating thing that people think of now. It really opens doors, and that was why I wanted to write a memoir, to tell people there are amazing things you can harness with this technology that will enrich your life, and don't be afraid to reach out and be who you want to be, because there are people online to support you.
That is actress, gamer, and writer Felicia Day talking about her new memoir, You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost. Coming up, Tammy Bobrowski talks to Felicia Day about her new book.
Felicia Day is an actress, gamer, writer, and head of the digital channel Geek & Sundry. She's a pioneer of online entertainment, creator and star of the popular YouTube show The Guild. I spoke with her about her unusual upbringing, her struggle to be seen as a legitimate success, and her message to young women about pursuing their passions. Felicia Day's new book is You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost. Welcome, Felicia.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Your new book is You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost. It's been well received by an impressive list of writers and actors, but many of the reviews use the words nerd or geek or quirky to describe you. Are these terms that you think apply to you, or do you reject being labeled like that?
I don't love being labeled in general. I kind of have a pushback against that, but I am certainly really deep in geek culture, the things that people associate with those words, nerd and geek, like gaming and tabletop gaming and comics and TV and, you know, fandom in general. So if we need a shorthand, certainly I would call myself a geek any day of the week.
You had a non-traditional education. You were homeschooled, which doesn't seem quite unusual today, but maybe more so when you were younger. Even by those standards, it sounds like your education was unique. What about it made it so unusual?
My mother homeschooled us because there were no good schools where we were moving. My dad was in the military, and my family is a very academically strong family, a lot of scientists and doctors and that. So she decided to homeschool us, and you know, and she was kind of a hippie, so there was not a lot of structure to my life. And although that kind of brought maybe some problems on as I grew up, that background turned into my strength because I followed the things that I was passionate about. I chased after and learned about things that I was interested in, and regardless of tests and, you know, what everybody else needed to be taught around me. And I think that really turned into my career because the things I loved back then, you know, books and mathematics, acting, video games, those have turned into what I put together in my life, a very unusual career. So I do believe that, especially in the areas that I'm interested in that are not traditionally female, I wasn't really dissuaded by any peer pressure or cliches about, you know, my gender that would have maybe dissuaded me had I been in a normal schooling environment.
So you grew up using the computer, you became a very dedicated gamer, expert gamer, and this eventually led you to creating the very successful YouTube series, The Guild, which you modeled after your own experiences. So much of The Guild is an example of this pioneering spirit on your part. Can you tell us a little bit about how the show became so successful?
I think the show became successful because there wasn't really anything out there like it, and that I loved the internet. I love reaching out through the internet and connecting my content with people who might love it. I don't necessarily want to make content that everybody in the world can love. That's the wonderful thing about the internet, is that you can have a career, you can have a voice, and you can connect with people around the world that might love what you make, even though the gatekeepers who make bigger projects might not think it's widely appealing enough. You don't have to be widely appealing to make a living and or have a passionate hobby on the internet today and still feel supported and get audience.
You had some struggles to be seen as a legitimate success. One of the most touching stories to me in the book is when you went shopping with your dad and he wasn't really quite getting what you were doing for a living. He's worrying about how you're getting by. But a fan at the store recognizes you. Can you tell us what happens next?
Yeah, no, my dad is a very practical person, very supportive, really, but kind of was concerned about my lack of progress in Hollywood. I think unless you're in the business, you don't really understand how it works, that there are very many ups and downs for your ups, and there's no consistent, you know, there often is no consistent, like, upward career progression like there is in a traditional career. So he was kind of, telling me, hey, you could be a lawyer, you can move back home, I'll pay for more school. And, you know, one of the employees at the place came up and said, oh my gosh, you're Felicia Day, and acted like I was a celebrity because of my web series. And my dad was just kind of stunned, and it was such a moment where, you know, you could tell, you could convey the victories, but you don't really understand it unless there's a stranger who says, hey, this is a reality, this is important to me. Because the web was so new, nobody really understood that you can make content for the web and be successful. So yeah, it was kind of a shift in the way he looked at what I was doing with my time, as far as like something that I was spinning my wheels to something that was kind of new and revolutionary, but not illegitimate. And it was a really nice moment that he immediately started supporting everything I did even more.
We're speaking with Felicia Day on Northern Community Radio. Her new book is You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost. As a lifelong gamer, you found comfort in the community of fellow gamers that you interacted with online and met at conventions. But last year, there was a series of very negative incidents that were made public. They went viral. It earned the name Gamergate. And several female gamers, including you, were targeted, harassed, and threatened. How did you get pulled into that?
I talk in the book about how, there is a long, there's sort of a history of a very small minority of people on the internet who were particularly sparked in a negative way about women becoming more prominent in gaming, about the changing face of gaming, about how gaming is evolving to not just be that traditionally, teen in a basement, you know, doing really aggressive first-person shooter games. In fact, gaming, that's not even the traditional thing of gaming. Gaming came more out of role-playing games and things like that early on, and Pong and things. So, but anyway, that was kind of the entrenched perception of what a gamer was. And some people, you know, as the internet has opened doors for people to enter the world of gaming, to call themselves a gamer but not really match with that perception, a lot of people have been, you know, bullying, to be honest with you, and dissuading women, especially, from having a voice in gaming and naming themselves gamers. So that was something that happened for years. And, of course, I've been encountering that kind of pushback, and I talk about in my book a couple incidents before Gamergate that happened. And Gamergate really was a kind of perfect storm of many factions coming together, you know, those people, as well as kind of a hateful bullying campaign sparked by a woman's breakup who happened to be a game developer, making games that were not as traditional in a sense, as well as a men's rights activist and a very big conservative backlash against social issues in media. So, like, it was several people who came together, or movements who came together, to kind of label themselves this Gamergate movement, who supposedly were for justice in video games and ethics in video game coverage, but really, were a social pushback against women and social issues in gaming. So, you know, that was a very hateful incident because a few minority people actually, and I got involved in this too, exploiting people's personal information and putting it out there almost as a weapon. I spoke up because I saw things happening to other women. And of course, you know, the same thing happened to me, and had happened to me in the past secretly. So, you know, I think that was a very extreme example of how the internet can really, have a sense of belonging for, in a positive way, but also a sense of belonging and power in a negative way too. And, you know, that sort of onslaught of bullying and hatred really painted gaming with a brush that I find very distasteful, because gaming to me has opened up worlds, and to have gaming perceived as this very uninviting environment overall is very upsetting to me, and something I always wanted to be proactively positive about. Not to say that there aren't problems about inclusivity and women in video games and tech career in general, but overall, like, the more we can come together and create community that's stronger than the negative community, I think the better, and that's kind of what I've taken out of that incident.
Here in northern Minnesota, we have a local chapter of the Girls Who Code Club. It's actually the only one in the state. They teach girls computer programming and development, and they advocate for them to pursue computer science degrees and fields. In light of Gamergate, do you have any advice for these or any girls or young women who are now getting into computers and gaming?
I mean, I think that it's a wonderful thing, and really the point of outreach and representation is to include people more and say that you can have a voice in this world. And although, just like in life, you might get pushback and bullying and hatred and negativity based on the way that you were born, that is the most hurtful, harmful thing to give into. And because it is a changing face of gaming, you know, every woman is a pioneer in a sense, in laying new groundwork for other women to be interested in it, because, you know, there is a disproportionate percentage of representation of women in tech and gaming, and it really is just an educational thing versus an interest thing. And I love the fact that there are organizations who are encouraging girls and women to, you know, maintain their interest in those fields and make a profession in those fields, because at that point it will be a moot point. It will be a moot point if there are so many women represented in those worlds. Their voices will be stronger, and girls who are in school might look at more, you know, those career paths is more viable because there are just more people representing a possibility to them.
Right.
And I think that's wonderful. And I'm a big proponent of anti-bullying campaigns, anti-cyberbullying campaigns, but also proactively educating people of all backgrounds that they can be enabled to follow their dreams, regardless of what might push back either proactively or subliminally.
Felicia Day's new book is You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost. Felicia, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks very much.
That was Tammy Bobrowski, producer of What We're Reading, speaking with actress, gamer, and writer Felicia Day. You can catch more book news and reviews on What We're Reading here on Northern Community Radio and on our Facebook or Goodread groups. You can call us for more information, 800-662-5799.